Amazing grace. This is amazing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing. Worthy.
sons and daughters. Show us how to truly live as sons and daughters. We're no longer orphans. We're no longer beggars. We're sons and daughters. We're so rich because who you are, because of who you are and who you've made us to be. Thank you.
Wow. Adopted sons and daughters of God. I had coffee with Prophet Bob last night. I had to drive way over to Tim's in the East End, and my buddy John was there, and Bob was trying to rattle it into my brain that I'm got a new name now, Douglas Ben Jehovah. A new last name, Douglas Ben Jehovah. And I'm going, I don't know. But that's what the Bible says, so. That's cool. We got a new name and we're sons of God. Wow. Praise this holy, awesome name. So, don't forget the men's retreat. Yeah. September 16th to 18th. It'll be a really good time. They had an incredible time out there at that camp. The weather was a little ugly, but it's going to be nicer this year. I just have a feeling. And, a couple birthdays. Darcy turned the big 6-0 a couple days ago. And Louise is turning the big 6-0 today. Yay! And I'm only a few months behind them. So, give Louise a Pentecostal handshake. Don't forget, Alf and Pam Dick are coming in October. That's going to be an incredible time, just an amazing time of healing. Yes, we may be a Christian. We're perfect. We're in spirit. We're born again. But we still have some hurts that need healing. And I really experienced that. God delivered me from shame. It was an incredible experience. And I just encourage you to come out for that. Arlene needs socks for the kitchen. Not for her. No holes in them. Nice, gently used or new socks. You know, toques, gloves, they work too. But that's always good to give to the poor and homeless. Sweaters, that'd be good too. Coats, maybe, I don't know. What's an eating? Hoodies, yeah, hoodies would work, yeah. Crystal wants to say a few words. What, her Bible study?
Well, this is just a quick advertisement that we're starting up this Tuesday at 7 o'clock at Convent Park, which is 5160th Street. 60th Street. And we are kind of in the middle of a book, but come and join us even if you're not sure. Just come join us if you want. It's at 7 o'clock. And we're on chapter, for those of you who have a book, we're on chapter 6. So, hope to see you there. Of a book. But if you don't have a book, don't worry about that. I'll get you a book. Okay?
And just before Gaston comes up and shares with us, I just want to pray for Harvey Collins. He's having surgery. So, Father, we know that you're the God of all comfort and peace. We know that you're Jehovah Rapha. You're the Lord who heals us. And we just pray that you would just guide the doctor's hands through Harvey's surgery. Pray that you'd be with him, the light in the operating room. Hallelujah. Lord, protect him from any infection and just cause this surgery to go incredibly well. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Is Gaston sharing? Where is he? Oh, he's probably out there. I'll yell really loud in the mic. Plug your ears.
Praise you, Jesus. Waiting for my guy over there. Put a little atmosphere behind my words. This is my favorite song. I listen to that in my car when I need it by myself. It's really good. Very mellow. Listen. The privilege in this church to give ourselves a little bit of time for testimony. In testimony, I was thinking, what is that? You know, we can talk about ourselves, or we can talk about the testimony of Jesus Christ over our life. And you know, I've talked twice over this church here about my life and what Jesus did for me. But I went back 30 years. But you know, Jesus is just as real today in the last 2 years than 30 years ago. And that's what I want to talk about, is Jesus today in my life. And that's important because, you know, what he did 30 years ago, it doesn't stop. It didn't stop. His mercy was just as great back then than it is today. So how do I live my everyday life? How do I recoup from the guilt that comes my way when I do things that are wrong? Well, how do I recoup from that? Well, praise you, Jesus, for his Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, that he said he was going to send us to come and live in us. What the Holy Ghost does is convicts us, talks to hearts. It's really the heart of God telling us. What he says to me all the time, he says, Gaston, I love you. You're better than that. Stop doing that. Don't do this. Or if I find something that I do that I'm really guilty of, say I'm convicted, and I know it's wrong. You know, there's some of those we encounter all the time, right? And the devil will come with the fullness of the law and condemn you. See, the devil does not preach Jesus resurrected and forgiveness and sanctification and righteousness. And the devil doesn't do that. He condemns you. Puts you down, and he said, even say you did it, and you're no good for God. So you have to recoup from that all the time. All the time. Even if it's a little sin that you're not convicted of. See, sometimes you'll do things, and you don't have full conviction of it. It just, you trail it. It's, you don't really confess it. You just, nah, it's okay. God's okay with that. It's not a big thing. And you carry a bunch of these little things around and you don't really confess these. Just carry them as part of your life. Say, for example, I'll give you an example of me. Just like 6 months or a year, 2 years God said to me, he said, I left some area of my life that I thought was right according to me, like a little bit of anger. I left a little bit of anger roaming around me in my daily life that I thought was acceptable. But it says there's a way that leads, there's a way that seems right to a man that leads to death. So I said, Lord, what do you mean anger? I left anger in my life that seemed right to me. And I wouldn't confess that. Well, I go about my life, and I would go to a cashier, say Safeway, for example, and she's not fast enough. I'd be impatient with her. Well, sometimes I'd be really impatient with her. And sometimes I'd be just plain crude impatient with her. And I would leave that because I felt justified. And then the Lord says, he says, well, you have a lot of these little spots in your life that you have not addressed. And see, the Holy Ghost is always very gentle and very loving. And he says, Gaston, you're my child, and you need to grow up. So you need to grow up and not leaving these little things, because it shows on your character. It may show on who you are and what you are and on your testimony before me. And even me, I'm not pleased with it. I'm not happy with that. So I've discovered a new way. It was a way of love. All right, so that's it. Now, love is an interesting subject. We can talk about that a lot, but we have to, with God, God, Jesus always calls us to love more. Always more. And not necessarily just my neighbor, but myself or God. So when I'm convicted of a very something very difficult, the difficulty you will see in it is because you know that it has offended him. Or if my wife knew, she would offend her. And I keep that. I kept that. So God and his Holy Ghost, praise the Lord for him. Like I said, Jesus says, it's good that I go. Why I send you the Comforter, and the Comforter calls you to repent. Calls you to repent fully, not halfway. You know, that's the beautiful thing about God. He talks not halfway. He's really understandable. He talks clearly. Sometimes we miss it. You know, the voice of God is sometimes very, very soft. And the reason it's soft, sometimes we miss it is because we're too busy to hear it. If you calm yourself down, you'll hear his voice. If you wait for it, you will hear his voice. Some people say, I don't hear. It's because you don't listen hard enough. You have to listen. You have to hear the wisdom of God. But you know, the beauty about God is that he calls us to triumph for the future. He doesn't hold sin against us. Jesus himself forgive or cause us to forgive ourselves. And he causes us to rise above it. Like for me, what God does for me, I know I'm like all of you. We're all equal here. Because then when I have something in my life that I have to forgive myself, and I can't. You know, the devil comes with power. He comes in emotion. He will bring you down. In emotions, right there. And sometimes you have to come out of emotion, and you have to go. See, you cannot find God in emotion, really, because you cannot see him there. Because in emotion, you have understanding and feelings. When you find Jesus in faith, you believe in him by faith. You have not seen him. You're here in this church here because you have encountered him. You know him. You know he's here. You know you want more of him. You want wisdom. You are here to see him, to touch him, to touch him, to be embraced by him. Hallelujah. So, I'm all over the place. That's okay. It's good stuff, man. That's good. You know, the essence is the freedom you receive from Christ. You know, like I can walk under a condemnation all day long. I can be in an emotional realm where I'm broken. But eventually that ends. if you insist on Jesus, if you go to his word and you look for him, you'll find him. If you trust outside of what you feel, you'll find him. It ends. You have to look for him in the midst of it. And he's the one that propelled that truth in you. You know, that Holy Ghost always speaking wisdom doesn't never stop. That wisdom is always, it's actually in your heart. It's with your own thoughts. It says, "With my mind, I delight in the law of sin. In my heart, I delight in the law of," what is it? Of life. Something like that. So in my mind, I delight in the law of God. In my heart, I delight in the law of sin. So that I have a battle within me. I have encountered this woman yesterday. She has been sick for 12 years. I'm going to bring her here. She's been sick for 12 years, and she was really down. And she has a good testimony about how she discovered the 100% love of Jesus for her. She said, "I used to be down on myself. I used to think that I could never really attain God's love. I was always feel short of God's love for myself. I always felt like I needed to perform to be loved by God." I said, "I don't have that anymore. I see that God loves me because I accepted him. He became mine. I'm his. He's my father. Perfect father." So what's, you're in the arm of the perfect father. Is there any arm there? No. No arm there. You got to, we battle against unbelief. Remember that. Unbelief bombards us all the time. You go and speak in tongues and see what your mind does. Unbelief. You go and try to live for the Lord. Pray for someone. The next day you'll be attacked over what you had yesterday. I tell you that. It's a spiritual battle. And we have to wear our armor. But you know, the Lord caused that armor to be in our heart. We know it. Testimony today is not about me. It's not about us. It's about Jesus and us. Jesus triumphing, caused us to triumph one decision at a time. You said you are changed by the renewing of your mind. So you change your mind about what you loved before. Food, whatever it is. Change your mind about that. So have a victory over that. You change your mind one little bit. Nobody can change their mind all at once here today. You know, you're going to get out of here today. It's because the Holy Ghost has spoken to you on one little thing. And then you'll change your mind about it. But you know, one these little thing every day, over and 6 months from now, you're a different person. Praise you, Jesus. Isn't that true? I change every 6 months. You betcha. New clothes, new heart, better attitude, better relationship with my wife. How about that? You know, that. Love is very important. I was thinking of that before I came here. Well, it's easy to talk about love, but how does love take place? You know, the scripture says that we are love now, that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And so I have been giving a new spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Unbelief calls you to not live there, but through faith, you could live there. What's love? I'm going to show you what love is. Love is loving you is small increments. I cannot love big all at once. I only love in small portions. When I'm kind to my wife, when I give a call to my friend, I just text them. Just think about them. See, God says to me, he says, "I'm happy with the love that you give. Because you give out of the guiding of my spirit. Out of my heart, how you give out." So in the small increment of love, you're a friend to your friends. True friends. A friend that don't hurt. I said, "I'm finished with you there, Gaston. You're a good friend. Yeah, you love 100% there. I'm going to work on some other area of your life now." You see, God is all about love. Now people come here because they know there's love here. You know, you go to a different church, you can never. It takes years before you could come to the front here. There's a freedom here that you can express each other. And there's a lot of love here. And you know why? Because there's a lot of Jesus here. There's a lot of hunger for Jesus in here. And there's a lot of people that have arrived there already that have the expression of love in their lives so they can give it out. And then we walk together. We don't walk. I don't walk with you in front of you to help you. I walk with you. I want to talk about failure. We have to be careful when people come in our midst and fail. That's where you should love them most. If somebody is struggling, so somebody is sick, it's easy to love them, right? But what about somebody has addiction? And he was doing good for a while, and he's in a position of authority around you, and he was doing good. And now he's going to fail. Is it time to reject him? No, don't reject him. If he came back, tell him, oh, I'm glad you're back. Now carry on what you had. But the failure part, you have to let that go. Jesus did that. I like to say, this is a bad expression really, but when I was a prostitute, God loved me. Before we were of Christ, before we needed to be born again, we were sinful people. We were like the rest of the world in need of Savior. We were all prostitutes in our hearts. You know, we were all broken. The love of Jesus was shown the most when we were at our worst. Now that we have come to Christ and we are in a better state. How about the guy who's an addiction and he doesn't have a hold on his addiction yet? When he fails, is it time to kick him out of the house? No. If he's back in the house, keep him. Keep him there. Show him how to be in Christ again. I just saw that happen in the last 2-3 weeks. 2 weeks. Just somebody that was successful, on fire for God, and then he failed. Well, he came broken. You know he was going to fail. You know he was going to go back. But it's forgive him that. When he's back now, you should rejoice and celebrate that he's back. So love him again. That's it.
That's it. Excellent church. That was great, buddy.
Do you pray for me? I pray for you?
Yeah.
You betcha. Father, you say in your word, it says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your rest known to me. And you say that, my peace. You promised. Said, my peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And another scripture from my friend Stan here says, don't worry about what you're going to say, for I will speak for you. So we need you. You speak to us, Father, today through this man. A willing heart. Amen.
Amen.
That's it?
Yeah. Thank you.
That was encouraging. Amen. And that, you know, fits in with the songs that we were singing. Great worship. I surrender all, you know, and one of those things that we keep learning. It's hard to learn. Keep on surrendering. Keep on giving it back to God. No matter what it is. And I like what the focus was on with Gaston, just about the love, that God is such a loving God. And that he's not surprised by us. He's not surprised by who we are. He's not surprised by what we've done. And we look forward today to come to the Lord's table. We're going to end our service with that in a bit. And maybe you guys who just played that song, the Jesus song that Gaston started with, we could play that a few times through as we do the Lord's Supper. I think that would be great. I'm going to just share a little bit this morning about maturity. And again, that just ties in, I think, a lot with what Gaston was saying about how we got to be mature in Christ. We got to grow up, that there's so much that God has for us as a church and for us as individuals. So I just want to read this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, or 3, I'm sorry. No, 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and just as you're looking that up, or as it's getting on the screen, just a little bit of a background on this. This was a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and it had to do with some fighting and some quarreling and some jealousy that was going on in the church. A church is not always a perfect place, and we're certainly not full of perfect people. We've got lots of things that we need to work on. Well, that was true in the early church as well. They were fighting with each other, and they were saying, well, I follow this guy. And the other guy was saying, well, yeah, but I follow this guy, and I think this guy's a better teacher. And Paul says, you know, this is just all wrong, and this is not mature. And what it does, it proves one thing, and what it proves is that you're just babies. You're infants, and you're not even ready for the milk, for the meat. All you just keep drinking the milk. You keep drinking the milk. Let's read that. So we're going to just start back in 2 verse 9. And to 3 verse 9, he says, it's written, this is in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, it's written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? Isn't this good? Again, it ties in with what's the whole service so far about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit who is in us. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world. Did you hear that? We have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And then he goes into this. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and the other says, I follow Apollos, are you not just mere men? And he's bringing a message about maturity, right? The whole theme here, the whole teaching here is that we can grow in Christ, that it's okay for a little while to be a little baby, like Louise is carrying her little grandchild, right? Beautiful. And look, there's a perfect sermon illustration right there. It's okay for a while, if you're a new Christian, it's okay to receive the milk. And you should have milk day after day after day. But if you're still drinking the milk and you've been in this for 10 years, there's something wrong. There's something wrong about that. And we're talking about today about maturity in Christ, and that God has equipped every one of us. And I wonder if you believe that. He's equipped you. He has given you what you need. And that you are placed here for a specific reason, that you are needed here, you're a part of the body, and that what you bring to this church, what you bring to this body, no one else can bring but you. No one else. We sometimes get caught up in who we follow. In the New Testament, some were following Paul, some were following Peter, some were following Apollos. And that's really not all that different nowadays. We got people who say, I follow John Calvin. Another one says, I follow Martin Luther. I'm a follower of Zwingli. I'm a follower of John Knox. You know, people still do that. That's not a new thing. We got all these different churches, and all these different churches sometimes have been based on a certain man or a certain teaching. So let me just start off today. I got a couple things I want to sort of just declare, and I'm going to remind you, maybe you don't even know this, but I'm going to just share a couple of premises of Potter's Hands Ministries, where we started, who we are, what we believe in. And so one of the things I want to just make really clear today, if I haven't done this before or haven't done it recently, forgive me. This is really important. It's sort of the foundation of why we started this church and what we believe, aside from the general beliefs, you know, of all evangelical Pentecostal Christians. Here it is. The first thing is you can only belong to Jesus Christ. You actually can't, I've said this years ago, I haven't said it recently, you can't belong to Potter's Hands. If people talk about that time, they say, well, how do I become a member? How do I become a member of Potter's Hands? The answer to that question is, well, you can't. I mean, you can come. You can be a part of the body. We hope you do. We hope you contribute. We hope you use your gifts. But membership is only membership in Christ. It's not membership in a building. It's not membership in an organization. It's not because you're following a certain teacher. There's only one thing that matters. This is central to what we believe. You are a member of Christ. All believers, all Christians, all who are born again are members in Christ. And all the other things that, you know, a lot of churches, you got to pass a test or you got to go to a class or you got to give a certain amount of money. None of that stuff matters. Let's just make this clear today. You are a member of Christ. And if you're a member of Christ, you belong here, okay? Now, here's another thing I think is really important, and that is that, I'm going to have to be kind of quick here, but you know, maturity doesn't come with age. We think it does, but it doesn't, and it's certainly true spiritually. Maturity doesn't come with age. You can be a Christian for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, and you can still be drinking the milk. It's not about time. Maturity doesn't come with age. Maturity comes, you know how maturity comes in the faith? It comes through suffering. It does. It comes through the testing of our faith. And if you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. We grow in our faith because of the trials. And I know some of you, I can see some of you got tears in your eyes even right now. You're struggling. There's something going on that's hard in your life. And it's hard to rejoice. It's hard to praise God about that. But the way, and this is what we're trying to say today, and this is what God's Word says, the way we grow in our faith, the way that we get into the real meat and the maturity in our faith is through the hard things, is through the struggles that are in our lives. And that's why James says, read with me in James 1 verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Anyone do that? Anyone ever just consider it pure joy? I don't know if I do. It's kind of hard, right? He says, man, almost he says, you should be excited. If you're really getting tested, you're really in trial, you're really going through a hard thing. James says, consider it pure joy. Ha ha, this is great, good news. I'm going through the worst time of my life. Consider it pure joy. What? Why? Get this, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. How do we grow? We grow through these hard things. We grow when we stumble and fall and get picked up again. We grow when life is difficult, when we're struggling, when we failed, when things aren't the way we want them to be. The Bible says, James says, when that happens, that develops perseverance in us, and that testing of your faith will result in maturity. You will grow through these hard things. Yeah, you can clap about that. Thank you, God. Because it's in the hard things, it's in the storm, it's in the struggles that we're no longer depending on ourselves anymore, but we're going, oh, God, I need you. I never needed you until this happened in my life. God, I need you. Where are you? And he goes, I'm right here. It's through the storm. It's through the trials. It's through the temptation. It is in the testing of your faith that your faith will mature and grow. It isn't just time. You know, I've been in lots of churches where it's all about time. You've been in a church for 10 years, you get to be a deacon. You get to be an elder if you've been here for 20 years. You know, but it's really, you know, the maturity of your faith really has nothing to do. It does not equate. It does not equate with time. It equates with how willing you have been to go through the struggle of life. How willing you've been to allow your faith to be tested. And where you have surrendered that to God and you said, God, I don't know how to do this anymore. I need you. I'm gonna turn my whole life over to you. It's going through those times. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're going through it. I'm going through it. God says, this is how I'm going to make you strong. This is how I'm going to make sure your roots are deep, that they're growing down, that you are going to stand this test. You are going to be strong. And now I got to say what I really need to say today. And this is just a message that's been on my heart. And it's something that I don't think we talk about very much. It's something I don't think we believe. But I'm going to say it out loud, and then I'm going to try to explain it a little bit. Here we go. You are way stronger in your faith. You are way more mature in your faith than you believe or that you know. And I'll say it again. You are stronger in your faith. You're more mature. I believe that we think that we are more immature than what we really are. And my take on you guys is that there's a lot of maturity, real faith, real depth. But what we do, a lot of us in our lives, is we walk through life, we go, well, I don't amount to much, and I could never teach this, or I couldn't do that. All I can really do is sit here. I'm pretty new at this. I've been doing it for 10 years, but I still consider myself pretty new at this. You know, and we kind of reinforce that in each other. We kind of say, well, you just keep drinking milk, and, you know, you want more milk this Sunday, you just keep drinking milk. Lenny, how long have you been here?
4 years.
4 years. You know what? I got to tell you something. It's time to get off the milk, and I know you already are. I'm just using an example. But we just nod at each other and say, yeah, here's some more milk. You want some milk? Oh, you're a cute little baby, Jay. There you go. Have some milk. I think what God wants to say to us today is that you are way more mature than what you give yourself credit for, and it is the enemy who is the accuser who keeps pointing at you, and he says, you're not going to amount to nothing. You could never do that. You could never initiate that ministry. You could not lead this because you are just Annie, and you're just young in this thing, and you just sit back and let some of the other spiritual leaders take over. That's a lie. I believe that God wants you to know that that's a lie. And it's time for all of us to mount up and say, you know, I have abilities here. God has equipped me. And I'm going to start acting mature because he says I am mature. Can you follow that? Let me ask you a question. Do any of you have trials or struggles or difficulties in your life? Well, is there anybody here who is not going through some kind of testing of your faith or some kind of a hard thing? Anybody here? Okay, there's a few. Well, you know, if that's true, if your life is so wonderful and you're not being tested and there isn't some struggle or some hard thing in your life, then it may very well be that you're new or you're still needing the milk, and that's okay. There's a place for that. But I'm just going to bring you back to James 1. And if it's true what it says in James 1, and I believe it is, that when we're tested, that when our faith is tried, and when we need to persevere, that what comes out of that is maturity. So if you answer the question today, you know, you say, there's some hard things. I've gone through some really hard things in my life. I have struggled. I have had to grow. You know, what you need to answer that question then is, I am no longer a little baby then. Because God would never allow you to go through that kind of hard testing without seeing you grow and seeing you become the woman or the man that he wants you to be. You've gone through those hard things. There's some really, really hard things you've gone through in your life. That proves that God says you are worthy, you're mature. There's depth in you, depth that you don't recognize. Maybe you don't want to testify about it, but you are way stronger than you know. Okay. Now, if you were just on your own, I maybe would agree with you if you said, you know, I'm just weak and I have to keep drinking this milk and I'm on my own and I you know, I'm never going to be anything much more than that. But here's the other real great truth today is you're not on your own. You have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to read it again, but I read all through that in 1 Corinthians 3 and 4. He says, you have the Holy Spirit. You don't think like someone anymore who doesn't have the Holy Spirit. You think like a spiritual man now. You have been revealed to you spiritual truths. You have spiritual wisdom. You are not of this world. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. So you're not alone, and that's why you're not a babe in Christ anymore. You got strength because the Holy Spirit has power. Do you believe that? You understand what I'm saying? If you're just on your own, like if God doesn't give us his Holy Spirit, if he doesn't fill us, we just stand there like little kids. There's not much we can do. But I'm just declaring today, you have strength that you don't even acknowledge or know about because the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you've been baptized, and if you haven't, by the way, the 18th, we're going to have we're going to the river. You knew I was going to bring that up, right? If you haven't been baptized, it's time to get baptized. But if you've been baptized, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and you surrendered your life, here's the good news. You have way more maturity, way more strength than what you know. And there's too many of us, and part of it is the church's fault, I think. Part of it is the church has helped us to just, we grow up stunted people. We don't equip them. We don't give them the keys. We're afraid to empower people. We're afraid to say to people, here, why don't you do this or why don't you do that? Instead, we give it to the same people over and over again, the people who have been around for 30 and 40 years, thinking that those are the mature people when they're not necessarily the mature people. Okay, I'm off on that tangent. Anyways, the point is, you have the power of the Holy Spirit. It's time that you start believing and start seeing the depth and the strength and the maturity that you really do have. And I don't think people tell us that. I think we go through a lot of our lives. A lot of us have gone through our lives, and people keep saying to us, maybe not in words, but in the way they treat us, you're weak. You can't really do the big heavy lifting around here. You just keep sitting there and just keep drinking the milk. The church has been feeding that over and over and over again to us. But the Word of God says, no, you have strength. Amen? Okay. He goes on from there, talk about the responsibility for our growth. I'm going to just read in Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm going to have to do this fairly quickly, but let me just ask you to think about this question. You know, your growth as a believer, you've accepted Christ, you're baptized. A lot of times, I think I've been guilty of this, I've been taught this all my life too, that it's the church's responsibility. We got to disciple people. We talk about that. We're not doing a good enough job. We got to disciple, and that's true. We need to have Bible studies. We need to walk alongside people. We need to share our faith. We need to take someone who's young and new under our arms and lead them to Christ and then disciple them. But now read this with me. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, it says this. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. I don't think that's a compliment. He says, you're slow to learn. In fact, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. And now hear this word. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. By constant use, now get this, they have trained themselves. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be disciplers. I'm not saying that we shouldn't walk alongside people. But what I think God's word is saying is that the responsibility for your growth lies on you. And it lies on me. And we're waiting around for someone to disciple us. We're waiting around for someone to teach us stuff. And we're not wanting to do anything about it. We don't want to walk. We don't want to get up and take some steps. It says here that if you're really going to be in the meat of God's word, and it's by that constant use, he says, they trained themselves. They trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The onus is on us. When I first became a Christian, I was 9 years old, and I already knew at 9 that God was calling me to preach or to be a missionary. I knew that right off the bat. You know what the first thing I did when I was 9 years old, I knew I had to do something. I didn't know what to do. I knew that, but I did know it was on me. I was responsible for my own growth. And I started writing down the Bible. Like, I knew the Bible had already been written, but I wrote from Genesis 1. I just copied it, you know, copied Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3. I was 9 years old, just writing word for word what Genesis 5, 6 said. I got all the way to Genesis 9, and I got tired, and I quit. And I realized that, hey, you know what, someone's already done this, I don't need to do this. But the point is, I knew that I needed to do something. I knew that this is on me. I needed to grow. I needed to put myself in places where I could grow. I needed to be in God's word. Now let me now add that Here's another premise that Potter's Hands is built on. Here's a basic truth that we believe in. And I'm not sure you know this because we haven't been sharing this enough. The basic truth, I wholeheartedly believe this. And I want to see us move in this direction more and more. And that wholehearted truth is that every single one of you, every single one, is gifted by the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us has a ministry that we need to do, have a call to be obedient to God. Every single one is absolutely necessary to the body, that there's no one else who can bring what you can bring to the table. And that our job, our role, is to equip and to find ways to help you to do what God calls you to do. We don't have a staff of 50 people. We have you. You're the body of Christ. We need to equip. We need to find ways to help you to dream your dream. You have a dream. I don't want you to dream my dream. I'm trying to dream my own dream. You dream your dreams, and I believe that the leadership of this church, the responsibility we have, is to equip you to do that. Not too many years ago, we did this, I think, better than we're doing now. We would just give out keys. I can't even tell you how many keys I gave to this building. Someone would say, hey, I want to start Art from the Streets. Well, here's a key. I want to start a Bible study Tuesday nights. Here's a key. I want to do something Saturday morning. Here's a key. And we would, you know, there are so many people that had keys, but I think that was a really good model, even though it brought problems. You know, someone would say, I think that I want to work with women, with kids. I want to help them. I want to teach them how to train their kids. We were real quick to just give a key and say, well, here's a key. What night do you want it? As long as you're not doing it. Basically, this is the spiel I would give them. As long as you're not doing something when someone else is doing it, and as long as you kind of clean up and lock the doors when you're done, here's a key. Back in those days, I bought a lot of bases. What do I mean? Well, a lot of bases got stolen out of here. I remember, I bet I bought 4 or 5 of these because everyone had a key and sometimes people would forget to lock the doors and a base would go missing. And so I'd go back on Kijiji. I remember, I think the last time I bought 2 for $175 for 2 of them. Yeah. I think, here's the point, I think we need to see more bases go missing. I do. If that means that we open up this building, we give people keys, we're doing ministry, we're being involved in the things that God's calling us to do, if that means that we lose a couple bases, so what? We need to empower people. Jay, just give me a sec, okay? We need to empower people. That base isn't very important. What's important is that you recognize that you are a child of God. He's given you dreams to dream. And that you are equipped to do it. Start dreaming. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? How do you want to grow in Christ? What's on your heart? I know that some of you have dreams. You want to help people. You want to work with people who are struggling with addiction. Or you want to help people in families. Or help people who are struggling with their finances. You know, all that we can do is say, here's a key. Or here's some equipment. Or here's some material. Or here's a little bit of money if you need to do this properly. What can we do so that you've got a key, so that you're empowered, so that you're doing what God asks you to do. And if we lose a bass over that, who cares? I know there's a few piano players. There's a few piano players who are hoping that we lose the piano. That's right. Yeah. Let them steal the piano so we can get a really good piano now, right? I'm going to end here real quick. But, you know, this summer in July, my little granddaughter, Violet, visited us for a couple weeks. And she's 1 year old. She's 1 year then. And she could stand, and she could walk around furniture, and if you held her hand, she could walk. The reality is she could walk, but she didn't believe it. I would put her against the couch, and I'd go 4 feet away, and I'd say, Violet, Vi-Vi. I'd call her Vi-Vi, or Vi, come to Grandpa, come to Grandpa. And she'd do this, and she'd go, and she'd crawl to Grandpa. And that's like some of us. I'm just telling you today that you can walk. You can walk. You have the ability to walk. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And maybe you've been crawling for 5 years or 10 years, and you've been just believing this nonsense that it's okay to keep drinking milk. and that it's cute even. It's cute to see people drinking milk. Well, it isn't. You know, it's cute. If you're 1 year old, it's cute, baby, to see you drinking milk. It isn't that cute when you're 10 anymore. And you can walk. You have the ability because he has equipped you. You don't learn how to ride a bike by examining the bike. You sit there and you go, oh, it's 22 inches long and it's 18 inches high and it's got, you know, 14 pounds of pressure in the tire. That's not how you learn how to ride a bike. You learn to ride a bike by how? By getting on it and riding it and falling sometimes. And I'm encouraging you today to get on the bike, to ride it, to fall, to get up again, and to fall, and to get up again, because you are way stronger. You have way more to offer than what you even know. Christ Jesus has equipped you. He's given you. You have something so important to offer. But I don't know how, I think I've said this 100 times, so maybe I've emphasized it enough, but you have so much to offer. You are so much stronger than what you've been told. Amen? We're going to, yeah, thank you. We're going to come to the Lord's table. And Doug, I know I asked you to share a few things, but I'm not going to do that right now, okay? I just feel like God's leading us in a little different way today. So maybe we're ready with that song. Just remember this today. This is the body and the blood of Jesus. This is a reminder that we really are equipped and we really are strong. This is not coming to the table of cookies and milk. This is coming to the table of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we today come to his table, I want to encourage you to come with confidence, come boldly, and come asking that question, Lord Jesus, what can I do to serve you? How? What dream? What dream do you have for me that I can live out? This morning, I'm going to do this a little differently. Sometimes we stand in a circle. I'm going to just do it a little different today. I'm going to ask you to come up one at a time. We need about half to come up and half not to, but however this works out, it's going to work out. Take a piece of the bread, take a little bit of the juice, and bring it to someone who's still sitting and tell them that God loves them. And serve them. And I'll make sure that by the time we're done, everyone's received. So come and take a piece of bread, take a bit of the cup, and bring it to someone. Can we do that today? Let's pray. God, thank you that we can come to your table, that we are reminded here today that we are forgiven, that every sin has been paid for, that you have washed us from our past, that there's nothing but hope because of you, Jesus. Thank you that even in the trials, even in the tempting and the struggles that we have in our lives, you do all of that so that we will grow and be mature. We come to your table today with great gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you gave your life for us. Thank you that you equip us. And as we eat and drink, we remember and we believe that God loves us so much. Amen. Jesus said, this is my body. I give it to you. Why don't you come and bring a piece to someone who's sitting down. Thank you, God. Is there anyone who hasn't received who? Okay. Krista, would you serve Barb? Anyone else? Sometimes it's easy to get missed here. Jesse needs it. We all need it. Make sure no one gets missed. You are part of this fellowship. You are important. The Bible says that we eat from one loaf of bread because we're one. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live in unity, when we live in harmony, when we support each other. Just worship God. Just take, eat. Whenever you're ready, take, eat, take, drink. Remember and believe the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you. Stand up. It's time to give thanks to God. I think that it's always appropriate when we've come to his table that we say thank you. I want you today to just come to the front. Everyone, just let's stand. There's not that many of us today. It's a long weekend. Let's come to the front. And I want you just to shout out some of the things you're thankful for. We need to break through some stuff. I know Tim's struggling right now with his shoulder. Sonny is in the hospital again. I got a text this morning. We remember him. Okay, he's home. What are you thankful for? Place to live, Jesus. Come on up, everyone. Let's just gather around here. We're one big happy family, right? What are we thankful for? How do we say thank you to God? Thank you, God, for your grace. Amen.
Friends.
Yeah. Thank you for the family of God. Nora, what are you thankful for? Yeah, amen, Lisa. Yeah, thank you, God, that you put us in a family. You put us in a place where people care for us. What do you say to Jesus right now? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Chad. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Thank you for God's peace. Amen. For his table. For this reminder. Amen. Did you hear that? Thank you, God, for forgiveness, for strength to persevere. Maybe I can just add a little to that. Lord, help me to forgive those who are hard to forgive around me. Right? You got to do that. Okay, we're going to just sing a couple random songs. We're not ready for this. I'm not going to be on the overhead. But...
alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is
sing
alive.
It out now.
Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive.
Sing it again.
Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive.
I will enter.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will sing this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
This is the day.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in him. And be glad in him. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in him. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Alive.
Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore.
Sing hallelujah,
sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive.
Woo! Lift him up.
My Jesus is alive. I worship you. I lift up your name. Jesus, you're worthy to be praised. Jesus, worthy to be praised. The Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, taketh the sin of the world away. We just say thank you, Lord. My heart exalts you, God. You sing a new song. My heart exalts you, God. You are worthy to be praised. My heart exalts you, God. You are worthy to
God. Thank you, thank you, God. You're my Lord. For your table, Lord, your breath, your body, your blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. On, oh great shepherd, lead us on, lead us on, oh great shepherd, the still waters, the green pasture, great shepherd. And we pray, Lord, today restore our soul. Restore my soul. Jesus. Lead on. Even in the valley of the shadow, lead on. Prepare a table for me. Great shepherd of my soul. For surely goodness, surely mercy will follow me, God. Yes, surely goodness, surely mercy will follow me, God. And I will dwell in your house forever. Yes, I will dwell in your house forever.
Amen. Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. God loves you. Amen. Amen.